Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Spirit. Woo! Musicians, you guys straight slayed today. Thank you so much. Brother Josh, a couple of moments when I looked up there at you, you picked up some Pastor Ronnie-isms. I saw that's Pastor Ronnie. I know who that is, but thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. It's good to be here today. That's a great compliment, by the way. I don't think there's a better worship leader out there than Pastor Ronnie. That's the truth. He brings it. I will tonight. It's in my heart. Since January, God spoke to me. Brother Cash, in December, the Lord spoke and said, I want you to announce to the church, and I want you to hold a notebook up, and I want you to tell the church that by the end of 2018, this book's going to be filled with the miracles that I've done in this church in the year. Now, that's easy to do when the book's already full. Thank you, God, that the book's full of miracles. But when you stand up and hold a notebook up that's about this thick and say, God's going to fill this book up, you better know you've heard from God. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. And so I announced that, and honestly, tentatively, I was a bit nervous about it. But when I can tell you, God began to do what God does. I'm telling you, God began to heal. We've seen cancers. If the Lord will let me, I want to preach a message, a message that I preached back when this all began. Do it again. That's what I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will allow me to. I preached this message, do it again. And as soon as the message was over, man, we dedicated two twin boys. It was a powerful moment. Then I get a phone call after prayer meeting that night, and those two twin boys had drowned in a swimming pool. And the father called me, the mom called me, and you can imagine they were in hysterics. And I was a bit shocked. I had to pull my vehicle off the side of the road. And I said, Stephen, say that again. And he told me, he said, the twins were found in the pool, and they've been in there for at least 5 minutes, that they have no air, and they're airlifting them to Shreveport right now as we speak. And I've never in my life, I'll never forget it, I said, my mind wouldn't take hold of this. And I said, the boys that I just dedicated, you know, he said, yeah, he said, my twins. And the doctor said, there's no way we're going to airlift them, but after a minute without oxygen, they're brain dead. I just want to share part of that because I want to share the complete of it tonight, along with some more miracles. They were without oxygen for 8 minutes. They were declared clinically dead. Then I get a phone call from the daddy, because when that dad hung up the phone with me, he said, I'll call you back when they're breathing again. That's what that father told me. Come on now. This is the father. I was distraught and his faith was high. He called me back and he said, hey, can you hear me? I'm in the helicopter. And can you hear that sound? And I listened closely, and you could hear the screaming. He said, that's the first twin, just woke up, and he's asking for his mom. Come on, somebody. I get a phone call about 38 seconds later, and you could hear the other twin, and he's on the phone, he's with his mom, and he's babbling something. And God gloriously raised them. It was on every news channel in our local area. God gloriously raised them from the dead. And I want to say, if God will do it then, he'll do it again. Shout amen, somebody. My Lord, have mercy. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5, but I'll be sharing some more miracles. It's over and over. My daughter-in-law was just healed of glaucoma, losing her eyesight completely. That was on Wednesday, last Friday. The doctor gave her a secondary diagnosis and said within 2 years, you won't even be able to drive a vehicle. You're losing your eyesight. We prayed for her Sunday morning after church. Wednesday, she went back to the doctor. The doctor's report came back. She has zero glaucoma whatsoever, no eye problem whatsoever. They even had to bring the prescription of her glasses down, because when God does it, he does it right. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, miracles have blown my mind. John chapter 5, I believe we'll start at about verse number 1. When you get there, shout, I'm there. It's an honor, Pastor, to be here. I don't think there's any better church anywhere in Florida. I have to be careful, because it's almost no church anywhere, but I know some are probably watching online, so except for Grace Point, where I pastor, is the only church. But I'm telling you, your praise and worship, not just up here, but out there, you got the praisingest church, Pastor, I've ever seen in my life. Folks, I love folks that know how to give God praise. And I will try not to preach a Pharaoh message today. I don't want the bishop to look at me and say, let my people go, so hopefully it won't be that long. I'll treat you like a miniskirt. Right? Can I do that? Can I treat you like a miniskirt today? What? I'll be long enough to cover the subject matter, but short enough to keep your attention. Amen? Pastor, I submit myself to you. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Somebody say, whatsoever. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. One translation said this, but it was the Sabbath. I want to preach to you for a few moments today on a subject entitled generational paralysis, because what I believe that so many of us in the church, that we are paralyzed, not because of a condition that we have, but we are paralyzed because of a perception that we have. We are paralyzed because of a dependence on waiting on someone else to do the fasting for me, waiting on the pastor to pray for me, waiting on an elder to lay hands on me. But I want to preach to you today and tell you that you do not have to be paralyzed waiting on someone else to reach God for you, because we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit. We have an advocate with Jesus that we can go to him for ourselves. And listen to me, it's not a bad thing to wait on the elder or the bishop. It's not a bad thing to wait on an altar worker. But I want to say to you today, there will come a moment in your life that you've got to shake the feeling of needing somebody else, and you're going to have to throw your hands up and go to God for yourself and say, "God, I don't need the pastor. I don't need the bishop. I don't need Brother Cash. I don't need the worship team. I just need you to come down right in the middle of my mess and touch me right where I am." Because there will be times you can't get the worship team. There will be times you can't get in touch with your bishop. You've got to learn that I refuse to be paralyzed waiting on someone else. We have got to break our dependency on depending on others. Shout amen if you believe that, somebody. In our text, we have a man that was lame for 38 years, the Bible tells us. And it tells us that he lay there, and he was by the pool where so many healings had taken place. But just about the time he testifies in this text, he said, just about the time I'm going to get in the water stirred, and I'm going to get my healing, just about the time I know that God's going to do it for me, and I'm going to get in the water, someone comes in before me, and someone gets my place, and they get the miracle. Have you ever been in a service that they're testifying about the goodness of God? They're testifying about what God's done in their life, how God has saved their kids, and you're excited about it. But on the inside of you, you're thinking, "But God, what about my babies? But God, what about my finances? But God, what about my healing and my body?" It's like just about the time you're going to receive your miracle, somebody gets in before you. Just about the time you think you're going to get your breakthrough, somebody gets their breakthrough. And it's not that we begrudge their breakthrough. It's just that we're thinking, "God, when is my time going to be?" But religion in this text had said that there can be no miracles on the Sabbath day. There could be no miracles. It wasn't supposed to happen. I want you to get a hold of this. I promise if you'll stay with me for just a moment, we're going to preach, but I want you to get this principle. Religion said that it could not happen. Religion said that it shouldn't happen. Everything that would take place that day said that it's not your turn. It should not happen. And I just felt like this last night, Pastor, as you were showing me the property about what God's doing here. I'm blown away about the goodness of God here at Crystal River Church of God. I see properties and buildings every time I come. There's something going on. I see God doing a great work. And I really believe this in my heart. I believe the enemy spoke last night and said, but it wasn't supposed to happen. I'm telling you, I believe everything that's within me, the enemy spoke. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. And I know enough about your story. I was even over in the other building where you had to shout like this. How many was in the other building over there? Come on, you couldn't flail your hands, you'd have knocked somebody out. So you just kind of shouted like this. That was breaking it down. Pastor couldn't break out one of these, he'd have knocked somebody out. So he just worshiped in a circle like this. Hey, I was over there, I know your story, but I know what the enemy has tried, and I know what he's tried to do. It wasn't supposed to happen here, because history tells us that you can't build a church like Crystal River right here in Crystal River. You can't do this, Pastor. It shouldn't happen, but I love what God does. It shouldn't have happened in this text. That man should not have gotten up. He should not have walked that day. And I'm here to prophesy to somebody. And the enemy has told you that it couldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. You have family members tell you, I don't know who you think you are. I don't know why you think you deserve it. You need to look at them and say, I don't deserve it except by the grace of a mighty God. I might not should be here, but look what the Lord has done. And you are going to break off some paralysis. Some have been sitting for years waiting on God to slap you upside the head, if I can say it that way, Bishop. You've been waiting on God to get your attention. It's time that you make up your mind. I'm not waiting anymore. If I can't get to where I think I ought to be, I'm going to get to where Pastor needs me. God, I feel the Holy Spirit in here. This man was paralyzed for 38 years. Let me ask you this question. Why did he miss his turn? Did he miss his turn because he was paralyzed? I mean, that's kind of the indication the Bible gives us. He kept missing his turn because he was paralyzed. But I want to say, I want to stretch it a little bit today, and I want to say he didn't stay paralyzed, and he didn't get his healing, rather, because he was paralyzed. He did not get his healing because he was waiting on somebody else to move for him. You missed it. He didn't, because in our text, he gets up and walks. In our text, it tells us he's going to get up and walk. The Lord speaks to him and says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. So it was not the paralysis that kept him by the pool for 38 years. It was depending on somebody else to go get him in the water. We have got to get to a place, church, that we break our dependence of waiting on somebody else to pray, waiting on somebody else to fast, waiting on somebody else to shout, waiting on somebody else to praise, waiting on the right message, waiting on the right song. We've got to make up our mind. If it's just me and Jesus, I'm going to get up. If it's just me and God, I'm going to the pool. I'm going to break a dependence. And I believe that this man was there for 38 years, just like the Bible tells us. He lay there for an entire generation, Brother Cash, waiting on someone else, waiting on somebody to put him in the water. Listen, when are you going to stop waiting? When are you going to get tired of waiting on somebody to pick you up? When are you going to get tired of waiting on somebody to run you in the altar? When are you going to get tired of waiting on somebody to pick you up and put you in the pool? You ought to make up your mind today that I'm going to get up myself. You ought to ease yourself to the edge and say, I don't know if they're coming to put me in, but I'm going to get ready. I'll just fall over into the glory of God. I don't know if they're going to do my song. I don't know if he's going to preach what I want him to preach, but I'm going to get to the very edge that when the glory comes down, when the water's troubled, I'm going to get what God has called me to have. Whether you pick me up, whether you move me, I'm going to go where God wants me to go. Stop depending on somebody else. Pastor, I wanted to preach something fun today, but I feel this is a word for this church, for this moment. It might not be for everybody, but it is for somebody. We have depended on so long, and we've seen a generation of the church is paralyzed. I don't know how it is here at Crystal River, but at our church, it's like somebody, well, Pastor, they didn't call me. They didn't come see me. I know it's not like that here. I know it's not like that here. I quit coming to church because they didn't give me the phone call when I missed last Sunday. I quit coming because when I missed Sunday school, they didn't come by and check on me. I love you with all of my heart, and I submit myself to you, Pastor. But when are we going to get to the place to where we stop blaming everybody else for our issues? We stop blaming everybody else, and we expect the pastor or the staff to notice when you have nearly 1,000 people showing up every week and about 500 to 1,000 online showing up. Look, I love you, but you've got to get to the place that you can't wait on somebody else to call you and pep talk you, because you've got to realize you're not in this for the bishop. You're in this for God. You're not in this for the church or the staff. You're in this because you have got to break that paralysis that has kept you at home and kept you I submit myself to you. We have gotten to the place that we whine. And I want to say to our folks, I know you don't do this. I'm just preaching to people in Louisiana right now. We get to the place that I want to keep a big block of cheese on the platform. Say, why in the world do you want some block of cheese? So I can say, would you like some cheese with that wine? Because we have gotten to the place that we depend on everybody else for our move. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. We have a culture that's dependent on the government to get me out of my mess. We have a culture that's dependent on the church to give me a handout. And look, I know your church does so much. And I know your church reaches out. But we have got to get to a place that we are not looking for a handout. We're looking with our hand up towards heaven, knowing that God's going to move. My God, it's time for a shift. It's time that we shift our thinking. It's time that we make up our mind that I feel the Holy Ghost. Pastor, I submit to you. I'm to the place in my ministry. I don't care if I get in trouble. I don't give a holy hoot who follows me. I don't care who unfollows me on Facebook. I don't care who follows me on Twitter. I'm not living for the likes of many. I'm living for the love of one, and that's my God in heaven. We've got to get to the place we don't care what somebody thinks about me. I don't know why you have to get so excited during praise and worship. You ought to look them right in the face and say, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. Come on, somebody. You don't know like I know when he brought me the victory. It makes me want to shout all night. Come on, somebody. You've got to shake thinking about what somebody cares about you and go to God. Am I okay with time, Pastor? We've got to get to a place that you realize when you wake up in the morning, I don't care who's following me as long as goodness and mercy follows me all the day. I don't care what Twitter tells me who has unfollowed. We have gotten this social media mentality that you're like. Listen, Jesus only had 12 followers, and look what he did. Hey, you're doing at least as good as Jesus did, and he turned his world upside down. But we've got to break this mentality because your destiny is not in someone else's hands. Your destiny is not in your family. Your destiny is not tied to your last name. Your destiny is tied to your faith. Your destiny is tied to what they sang about this morning, whose blood is flowing through my veins. We've got to break this generation of paralysis in the church and in culture that's waiting on somebody else to call me or anoint me, and we've got to get to the place that we go to God for ourselves. Think about what God could do if we could multiply the bishop by times 1,000. That's what the church is about. Multiplying the bishop times 1,000. Not dividing from him because we need him. I'm just preaching what's in my heart, Pastor. And we hadn't talked about anything. And so this is probably for nobody except somebody watching online. But we have got to get to the place that we don't take from, but we add to. Because when you add to something, what happens is you make room for more. You make room for leftovers. You make room for somebody else. But when we're waiting for the bishop to pick our sweet... Well, I can't say that. To pick our sweet self up and pick us up, and he's trying to lug you to the pool of your blessing, and he's working, and by the time he gets you there, you get your miracle, but he's so worn. I'm preaching right now. And his pastoral staff, they're so worn down by the time they get your blessed assurance in the pool. I'm preaching right now. And what we have got to do is say, Bishop, I love you, but I'm going to go to God for myself. Pastor Cash, I love you, but I'm going to go to God for myself. I know that you mean well, but just get out of my way. I don't need you. I need Jesus. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need a breakthrough. I will not be paralyzed waiting on somebody to get me anymore. I will get up all by myself, and Jesus and me are the majority. We come to church waiting on the worship team to sing the right song, and if we don't have a breakthrough, we blame Josh. Pastor Josh. Brother Josh. Whatever I should call him. Good looking, that's what I'll call him. Good looking Josh. We're waiting on him to do the right song, and the worship team to get us in the right key, and the worship team to get us so worked up that we are ready to worship God. That is a wrong culture, and that's what's kept the church paralyzed for years, waiting on somebody else to trouble the waters, waiting on somebody else to get it going for me. Listen to me. If you can't worship when there's no piano, if you can't get your breakthrough when nobody's singing your song about breakthrough, baby, I don't even know if you got your breakthrough in the middle, because it might just be an emotional exuberance, but there comes a time that but you make up your mind. I don't know who's playing. I don't know who's singing, but I'm going to get in the pool, and I believe God is going to give me my breakthrough regardless. I've made a decision. I've made up my mind that I'm not waiting on somebody else. I have a great heritage. I have a father that's a powerful man of God. I've got your pastor that has, if I can't preach, if I can't be a success in ministry, it's not because I have not had good mentors in my life. And your pastor, like you said, they're my family, and he's been there for me and his wife, and they've been there for me. But I want to say to you, there comes a time that I won't be able to get him on the phone. There comes a time that you can't reach. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You have waited. You even came in here frustrated. I came back today, although they haven't called me. I thank God you came back today, but you've got to get over. Pastor, I'm just obeying God right now. We have got to get to the place that we understand that, listen, I'm not going to be driven away by an offense. Everybody's offended today. I'm offended. Get in line. I'm telling you, we just about have to have a public affairs official at the church now. It's the truth, because everybody's offended. And I'm getting a little older, and I don't have the temperament for offended people, because I'm getting frustrated. Because why? I submit myself to you. Why are we in church? I'm telling you something. We have been paralyzed, and we've been laying there. If we can get this in our spirit today to make up our mind, you can't offend me out the house of God. You can't make me mad out of the house of God. If you hug me, good. If you don't hug me, okay. I'm still going to worship and praise God, because I can promise you, you have a perpetual hug from Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross, and he loved you this much, and he says, my arms are open this wide. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. We've got to break our man-worshipping ability, our man-worshipping perception, that we just only can get through somebody. You've got to go to God for yourself. Because let me tell you why the enemy messes with you about, well, he didn't hug me, she didn't call me. And I don't know why, Pastor. I'm just preaching like I'm home. Is that okay? We've got to get the place, because what happens when just about the time you get your breakthrough, and the devil can't defeat you, what the devil cannot defeat, he distracts.
All right.
You missed it. What the devil cannot defeat, he distracts. So what he's going to do, just about the time you've defeated your enemy, you're just about to step into that pool, distraction comes along. I can't believe he didn't hug me. I can't believe he didn't call me. I just can't. Listen to me. It's a trap of the enemy. You've got to realize he couldn't defeat you, so he's trying to distract you. So you've got to realize how close you are. You've got to just edge on in and realize, I'm going to move on forward. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
In verse 6, Jesus said, would you like to get well? And this man answers this back. He says, I can't. Can you imagine Jesus standing there and said, would you like to get up? But the thing is, if you realize, he didn't realize who Jesus was.
Right.
Had no idea who he was. How many of us come to church and we're so paralyzed that we're waiting again on the worship or the pastor, and we don't even realize who Jesus is? We know who the bishop is. We know who the worship team. God, I feel the Holy Ghost preach to somebody right now. I'm telling you, I just feel this in my heart to tell you, we come to church and we forget that we're not looking for Pastor Ronnie. We're looking for Jesus. God, help me. We're so caught up in everything else that we forget. I'm here for him. I'm here for an audience of one. I'm doing this for my king. That's why I'm here. And he says, this man, will you be made whole? And he says, I can't. I love what Jesus did. Jesus didn't even hear what he said. It's like Jesus ignored him. He said, I can't. Pastor, I thank God that there are times that the Lord ignores what I say. Especially on Monday mornings. I thank God that he ignores what I say, because I've said some foolish stuff. I thank God that he just says, you know what? I'm going to act like I didn't even hear that, and I'm going to bring you out anyway. Anybody want to raise your hand today and say, thank God he didn't listen to me? Does anybody want to say, thank God he didn't listen to my bad attitude, my frustration? Is there anybody that says, thank God he didn't say, God, I'm done with this. I'm done with these people. I'm through. I can know. He says, I'm not even going to hear that, because I've called you. And Jesus looked at that man. We've got to get to the place that we realize that our miracle may not come through a system that we've always seen before. He had only seen a system where the water was stirred and you got your healing. We have got to come to the place that we realize our healing may not come in the altar. Our healing may come in the foyer. Our breakthrough might not come during worship. It might come in Sunday school. Our breakthrough might not come in Sunday school. It might come at your house right in the middle of your midnight season, that you get up at 3 o'clock o'clock in the morning, you and by yourself all alone, just get up and say, Lord, I just want to wake up right now and tell you, you've been good to me. You have never failed me. You've never let me down. I'm here to say, God, thank you that if you move from me, I'm going to worship you. If you don't move from me, I'm still going to worship. Why? Because I'm not worshiping what you can do. I'm worshiping simply who you are. You've saved me. Come on, somebody. You've redeemed me. You brought me out. I refuse to lose my praise because of a little physical pain. My Lord. I'm going to get there tonight. I want to preach so bad. God has brought a miracle. When God spoke to me and said miracles are going to come and we're going to fill this book up, I didn't realize that myself, my wife, and my 10-year-old daughter would be in that book. Let me just testify and not preach. Let me just be John Wesley testifying for a minute. My 10-year-old had a heart condition. Certainly the doctor said was going to lead to open heart surgery, cracking her sternum open at 10 years old. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I'm a faith preacher. I believe in healing. And it's devastating for it to hear a doctor say there's nothing else that we can do. Maybe we had to put a PICC line in and drain some. She had an extreme valve problem, an extreme issue. My daughter, her fever was for 10 days up so high that she couldn't eat anything. She lost 18% of her body weight with me laying my hand on her head every single night, every single day, Brother Cash, declaring the goodness and the healing of God. God didn't do it in the system that I thought he would. God didn't do it when I thought he would. But when God did it, was in... We had one last test that they were going to determine what type of surgery, exactly how much they would have to do. I'll never forget, but Pastor preached a message about holding your shoe up. Come on, somebody. And I'm sitting in that room, and I take my shoe off my foot. My wife looks over at me and says, what in the world are you doing? I said, you know what? I believe that I'm in covenant with God, and I'm just reminding him and I'm telling hell that I may be in a doctor's office right now determining what kind of surgery and how deep and how detailed the surgery is going to be. Watch this. But I was holding my shoe up. That nurse kept looking back at me, Josh. She kept holding her head. I held my shoe up, and I could hear my baby's heart beating. I could hear the exact place that it's messing up. And I all of a sudden, Brother Cash, something in my ear began to change. I leaned up over that nurse. We had had enough of these tests that I could read that machine myself. I looked up, and I said, ma'am, I believe that's changed right there in that chamber. I don't believe it's like it used to be. For a moment, she tried to ignore me, but I had my shoe up. She was looking at my shoe, and she would look back at me. She was looking in my shoe and she would look back at me. She said, I'm not supposed to say anything, but conditions like this do not better themselves. But I'm telling you, your daughter's condition has gotten better. Come on, somebody, has gotten better. It didn't happen. They said, with this condition, she'll probably never be able to do anything athletic. Can I just testify as a daddy right now to tell you, she's an all-star gymnastics. Hey, come on, somebody. Listen, it might not come when you want it to, but I like what the old timers used to say. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? I'll share more about the miracles tonight that God's done in my body and in my wife's body. I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. But listen, when God gets ready to do something, get ready to be tested. But don't wait on somebody else for your breakthrough. Lord, I'm hurrying. So Jesus, at this point, he looks at this paralyzed man and he says, do you want to walk? He says, I can't. Jesus ignored him. Jesus said to him, he said, stand up. It made no sense. The man looked at him, I can imagine, like, I just told you, I can't get up. What God is about to do in your life is not going to make sense. I feel the Holy Ghost. What God is about to do in your life is not going to make sense to your family. What God's about to do in your life is not going to make sense to your boss. What God's about to do in your life is not going to make sense to your doctor. What God's going to do in your life is not going to make sense to your banker. But listen to me. Don't get so caught up in your senses that you say, I'm paralyzed and I can't move. If you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit come by you and say, stand up, you ought to get up. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You ought to get up out of your chair, get up out of your condition, get up out of your position and realize that, you know what, it's not going to make sense to my enemy. God, help me. The Lord spoke something to me, and Pastor, I wasn't going to say it, but I feel like I have to. God spoke to me last night when it was kind of like I got in his house, and it all began to happen. My iPad's broke. I had apps crashing on my iPad. I woke up this morning. I was like, man, it's not going to work. I had to go outside and get out of your house to make stuff work. No, I'm playing. That's not true. I'm lying about that right there. But God spoke to me, and it was dark, and I was trying to use my phone, the flashlight on my phone, or my watch, rather, and my watch had died. I said, dear God in heaven, man, what's going on here? And so I'm standing there right in the darkness, looking, trying to get all this stuff together, and God speaks to me and says, when you praise me in the dark, it can, watch. He said, it confuses your enemy and makes your enemy think he's surrounded because he can't see either. Come on, somebody. That's what you ought to do right now. You might be in your darkest midnight hour, but you ought to jump to your feet right now and put both hands in the air and praise God in your darkness, because it confuses your adversary, and he starts saying, my God, I must be surrounded. My God, I don't know what's going on, but something has happened, and they are praising. Hey! God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It made no sense. Jesus said, take up your bed. He said, I just told you I can't. He said, take up your bed. Listen to me. When God gives you a miracle, a breakthrough moment, I've learned this. It's not just about that moment. It's about the preceding word. You come on, you're right. You're right, Brother Josh. Come on, you have me down. When God does a miracle for you, it's never going to be just about the healing in your life. There's going to be a preceding word that's going to come after that miracle. Listen to me. God does the miracle because just he's God. I've got this prayer. I have quit praying. God, I want you to come in the house and be a healer today. God, I want you to come in the house and move by your spirit. Here's what I've started praying. God, just simply be God. You need to get a hold of that revelation. God, just simply be God. So God spoke to me. He said, take up your bed. The preceding word was walk. Listen, the preceding word was walk. Take up your bed. Now walk. Take up your bed and walk. Let me explain it to you. Do y'all have Brookshire's here, the grocery store? What do y'all have, Winn-Dixie? Winn-Dixie's the best grocery store anyway, let's be real. Got them chicken wings. Ask my 10-year-old. You'll see her in the next service. Will she eat a bucket of chicken wings from Winn-Dixie? When we go to Florida and she's not with us, here's what my 10-year-old says. She don't want a T-shirt from Florida. She don't want a pineapple or an orange. She said, Daddy, bring me some chicken wings from Winn-Dixie. That's the Lord's honest truth. She's probably going to be a preacher. She's real lazy and craves fried chicken. I'm playing. Watch this. We got to stop. When God gives you a miracle moment, when God does something for you and you get a preceding word, when you wake up that next day, trust me, I'm walking out my healing right now. I have had no issues whatsoever. But when I'm carrying a word, Pastor, can I say it like this? When I'm pregnant with a prophetic word and God's sending me to a place to deliver that word, every single time the enemy tries to attack my body. Y'all prayed for me last night. Bishop, I have no issues at all. And I'll explain more of that tonight. I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to take authority over lying symptoms. Yeah, you'll get a hold of that tonight. Lord, help me say it right tonight. But there's a preceding word. And when you get up, sometimes that preceding word, you're going to think, I can't do that. The preceding word was walk. When you make up your mind that you run out of milk or you need some chicken wings, and you're going to head to the Winn-Dixie. When you get in your car, you start heading to Winn-Dixie. When you make up your mind that you're out of milk and say, I've got to go to Winn-Dixie, when you start going that way, the door is still closed. When you get in your vehicle and close the door and turn your car on, the door at Winn-Dixie is still closed. When you get in the parking lot, if you look at that door that you're supposed to walk through, it's going to be closed. Come on. When you start walking towards that door, it's still closed if you look at it. Watch this. The door only opens when it senses your presence. The door only opens when it senses your presence have walked, even though the door was closed. But when you get near the place that you know what you have need of is inside. God help me. When you get there, all of a sudden, that's the word I have for you today. When you get up out of your chair, the door might still be closed. But when that door senses your presence, that you have shown up in faith, that door's going to open up. Why? Because you've got a preceding word from our Heavenly Father. But we've got to break a generational paralysis. We've got a break going, well, the door's not open yet. The door hasn't been made open by somebody. See, religion tells you that, well, if it hadn't shown up at your house, just wait on it. God's going to bring it to you. Don't worry about it. It's a Sabbath. You know, maybe the Lord's not doing it today because the religious law of that day said the Lord could do no miracles on the Sabbath. I like what one translation says. It says, it was the Sabbath, but. It's a conjunction. Put a comma with it. You remember conjunction, junction, what's your function? Did y'all have that here? All we had was public television. We couldn't afford cable anyway. But, comma, what that's doing is it's bringing two statements together. Neither one will be incomplete when you have a conjunction. Some of you are living out the incompleteness of your life. Because you have not had the conjunction to add the preceding. Some of you are living out the incompleteness of your life because you have stopped on, God doesn't do that on the Sabbath. I thank God that Crystal River Church of God is not a religious place. Can I say that? There's no religion here. There's relationship here. I thank God. Yeah, come on. You ought to thank God for it. Said no healings could be done on the Sabbath, but let's make another statement. Rise, take up your bed. It's phenomenal that he got up, but it's not that God just has done a miracle for you and you have no more paralysis. It's that you walk. The Bible said Enoch walked with God until he was not. Some of you need to walk with God until you are not addicted. Some of you, see, you've just gotten up. See, he walked with God until he was not bound. He walked with God until he was not in sin. He walked with God until he was not an adulterer. He walked with God until he was not in that issue. Some of you have gotten up, but you haven't walked. The preceding word is walk. You say, but the door hadn't opened yet. It'll open when you get there. When it senses your presence by faith, that miracle door will open. But you've got to walk. Can we stand all over this place? Every head bowed, please. No one looking around. Holy Spirit. Isaiah 60 and 22 says, when the time is right, I will make it happen. When you stop depending on others and start walking, even when the door is closed, what God is going to do next in your life will upset hell, anger the Pharisees, and give you a testimony. As I'm closing, I'm getting ready to open the altars. Here's what it said. This man that was lame, religion says, who told you could carry your bed on the Sabbath? They didn't even ask this lame man for 38 years, wow, you're walking. What happened? They said, who told you could carry your bed on the Sabbath? He didn't even know who did it for him. Because in the text it says this, he just says, the one who healed me told me to take up my bed. The one who healed me. Stop trying to explain yourself to people who don't understand Jesus anyway. And when they say, who gives you the right to come to church and praise like that? Just say, the one who redeemed me. When they say, who gives you the right to come to the... Who gives you... Just say, the one who brought me out by his blood. No one looking around for just a moment. I want to ask, is there anybody in this place today that would say, John, I need to give my heart to the Lord today. I don't know him, man. I am lame, man. I've been by the pool of sin for years, and I need to get my heart right with God. Anybody here today want to lift your hand up? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there anybody in this place today that says, I've allowed perceptions, I've allowed offense, I've allowed frustration? Now it's going to take a lot of courage.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.